Happy Monday. I'm Ken DeCosta. We're going to start by saying good morning to 16th District Congressman Don Manzullo. Don, great to talk to you. Thank you for your time.
How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you. Before we get into the negatives, Are there any redeeming qualities about the health care reform package approved last night by the House?
Yeah, the biggest one is that it expands community health centers.
How so?
Like Crusader Clinic.
Okay.
And that's huge. In fact, the expansion of community health centers is probably the finest way to get health care to many Americans. Not necessarily health insurance. It's a big difference. But to get health care services to the people that that are uninsured. And that's the goal, is to do that. I mean, the 2,800 pages, you've got to have some good things in there. It allows for I think it allows for purchase across state lines of insurance, but I'm not sure. But, you know, redemption comes at a big price.
Did you read the whole thing?
I couldn't. I read the 1,100 pages in the House bill, H.R. 3200.
Okay.
Then I read several hundred pages, amendment to that. And then the Senate picked it up, and the Senate bill changed the daily depended upon how fast the members of Congress would sell out. I use the word sell out because that's what happened. Senator Nelson of Florida sold out because there the people get to keep Medicare Advantage when the 17,000 constituents I represent get Medicare Advantage ripped from them. Senator Landrieu of Louisiana sold out. She exchanged her vote for more Medicaid money. Senator Nelson of Nebraska sold out in exchange for the so-called Cornhusker thing. And sellouts all over the place in Colorado. Some people have been exposed to something in a mine, and even though they're nowhere near Medicare age, they were given the ability to go on Medicare. Connecticut got a $100 million hospital. Ken, I want to tell you something. The American people are fed up with these backroom deals, with knowing that the senators, members of Congress, are selling out, selling their souls. And I mean, I am really, really upset, because even if you end up with a bill that may or may not work, it's the process that stinks, and that's why people hate Congress.
What impact will this bill have on small businesses?
Well, what it's going to do is estimates show that between 3 million and 5 million people will lose their jobs because of the harsh employer mandate forcing people to get insurance. And it increases the cost of insurance. Let me give you just two reasons. State of Illinois is broke. I don't have to tell you that. You look at today's headlines and you see that literally thousands of teachers across the state of Illinois are being laid off. They're being ripped because there's simply no money to pay them coming from the state coffers. And at a time when the economy is in a tailspin, when the effective unemployment in Rockford is at 27%, because you have to add 7 percentage points to the 19.6% that we have, here comes a bill that increases taxes dramatically. In fact, the Speaker Pelosi's idea of insuring Americans is to add 16 million Americans to Medicaid. Illinois will see an increase of about 330,000 people added to Medicaid. And Medicaid reimbursements are so low, a lot of doctors won't see the patients. And in fact, in the state of Washington, Walgreens is saying, "I'm sorry, we will no longer honor Medicaid prescriptions." I mean, that's no solution. Just add people to an already overburdened system. Illinois means an additional $400 to $500 million in Medicaid expenses, unless the federal government fulfills its promise, which does not occur in many cases, of reimbursing the state of Illinois to the extent of the increase under this plan. But you know, Ken, one of the things that I found to be personally aggravating, you remember Frida came down with cancer.
Yeah, yes, I do. Is she doing okay, by the way?
thank God, yes, she's doing. She's doing it every day is a miracle. And in June, we celebrate 4 years. But when that tumor settled in her vertebrae and exploded that bone, this bone shrapnel all over her back, the neurosurgeon went in and meticulously removed all these pieces of bone from around her spinal column. And then he took the vertebrae that was destroyed by the tumor, and he replaced it with a titanium vertebrae, along with a post in it, did skin grafting and everything. That kept her from a wheelchair. That titanium brace and the life-saving radiology machine that destroyed the cancer cells around that vertebrae would be subject to a 2.5% excise tax by the federal government. Why would you put a tax on the very life-saving devices that are used in medicine today? That only increases the cost of medicine. But I mean, you can go on and on. It's the cost, $565 billion in new taxes. Talk to CPAs. Talk to people involved on church boards and hospital boards on this outrageous so-called Medicare tax that goes on higher income people for under an income dividends, capital gains taxes.
Can the federal government require almost everyone to have health insurance or else pay a fine? Is that constitutional?
I don't think so. In fact, the 30 states are prepared to start lawsuits. I mean, it's just mass. And you know what, Kim? The Republicans have had alternative plans for years. We put through, and we control the House, association health plans that would allow small employers to come together to form massive purchasing pools, the same as labor unions, governments, and large corporations. And in the massive purchasing power, you can bring down the cost of health care. You can tailor-make what you want in that insurance policy. And this is where you get relief to people who have pre-existing illnesses. Well, we passed that twice in the House. It went to the Senate. Democrats fought it and lost by 2 votes. In the House, on 3 different occasions, we passed a meaningful health care reform for physicians and hospitals so they don't have to pay incredible fees in premiums, let alone verdicts, and then a defense of medicine. That never came up in the Senate because there weren't 60 votes to bring it up and to pass it. So, you know, all along, we have had plan after plan, but it's foiled because Nancy Pelosi and the people that follow her don't want to incrementally solve a problem that's part of 1/6 of the economy. They want to control it all at once, and that's what's scary.
Now, how will the reconciliation bill, how is that different from the bill passed last night?
Well, the reconciliation bill is about a 170-page bill that is supposed to tweak the 2,800-page bill. It actually adds 1 million more people to Medicaid. It goes from 15 to 16 million people, and that's supposed to be the bill to correct it. But what we found interesting is the bill is so pervasive that the authors of it forgot to exempt such things as crutches and crutch tips from a special excise tax. So they already had to throw an amendment onto a bill that hadn't even become law to exempt those out. It's just, you know, what's most frustrating, Kim, is the fact that we talk on a daily basis with a lot of people who are desperately in need of health care insurance policies because of being denied on pre-existing illnesses, and under this bill they're going to have to wait 4 years for any relief in that. Sure, the federal government will set up some sort of a pot for assigned risk for health insurance, but we already have that in Illinois. Premiums are high and the waiting list is long to get onto it. But you know, that's not fair to the people who really have a genuine problem with health insurance when the Republican plan was so simple, so incremental, so non-threatening to the entire community, and it could have helped those people at the same time.
Now, is it? I'm still trying to fathom how a $940 billion health care reform bill can reduce the deficit by $138 billion over 10 years.
Yeah, well, get in line. only Washington thinks it can spend $1 trillion and save money. It's impossible to do that. If you look at how this Congressional Budget Office scored it, they never took into consideration that in the Balanced Budget Act of 1997, there were supposed to be incremental reductions in payments to physicians. That was all supposed to, for the purpose of making everything more cost-effective, etc. Well, those reductions have always been delayed. They're now at about $220 billion that is really owed to the physicians. So if you take that $220 billion and add that to the health care bill, this bill will come up in the whole hundreds of billions of dollars in debt.
The vote last night was 219 in favor, 212 against. 34 right. Democrats, including your colleague Dan Lipinski from Illinois, voted no. Not one Republican voted to support this bill.
Right.
Doesn't that underscore how partisan an issue this is, Don?
Yeah, the only bipartisan vote were the 34 Democrats that joined all the Republicans to vote against this monster. And then the way it came in the end, Ken, is that Bart Stupak from Michigan, instead of standing on his principles and saying, you know, this bill will result in federal dollars for abortions, and by about 80% of Americans, including pro-choice and pro-life Americans, simply do not want federal funds used for abortions because it's wrong. It's so intimate a thing. That they believe that money should not be used for. He went to the president's office in exchange for a piece of paper that's worthless, something called an executive order. Ended up selling out, and it was his votes that made the difference on it.
Now, my understanding of this, Don, this comes from one of the Chicago papers. The bill tries to maintain a strict separation between taxpayer dollars and private premiums that would pay for abortion coverage. No health plan would be required to offer coverage for abortion. In plans that do cover abortion, policyholders would have to pay for it separately, and that money would have to be kept in a separate account from taxpayer money.
Well, it doesn't work that way because, first of all, money is fungible. It's hard to tell where dollars are coming from. Second of all, you're still going to have subsidies that are going to small business people and to individuals who will take the federal subsidies and use those to purchase the so-called optional abortion coverage on it. So it's still federal money that's being used.
Does this bill have any impact on your health insurance and your colleagues' health insurance?
Well, it's interesting. I have the Federal Health Employees Benefit Insurance. Our premium each month is around $500 a month. It's Blue Cross Blue Shield standard option. I mean, this is not the, a lot of people think that we have insurance that differs from most people in America, and it really isn't. It's the most common insurance, I think, in America, is the Blue Cross Blue Shield standard option. What it does do, I think, it will add an adult child at age up to age 26, so it goes from 22 to 26, and that's about it. But it's very high deductible, and as I said, it's the same policy that most Americans have at their place of work.
But you call the bill that was passed last night, 219 to 212, a disaster.
It is. It's a financial disaster. You know, the big story is not the health care bill. The big story is what Blomberg reported, and that is that the bond market is saying it's safer to lend to Warren Buffett, Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson, and Lowe's, which traded at lower yields in recent weeks than it is to lend to the federal government. I mean, that means that foreign investors believe that private bonds are safer than U.S. Treasuries. Ken, that's shocking. That's shocking because that's how the United States will eventually lose its AAA bond rating and make it more expensive to get money on the open market and make us even more dependent upon the Chinese.
What kind of feedback are you getting from your constituents in the 16th district?
Well, people, I mean, overwhelmingly are opposed to the bill. I can't give you the numbers. It's into the thousands that have contacted our office over a prolonged period of time, and but it's at least 2-1 or 3-1.
Now what?
That are opposed to it.
Now what happens?
Well, the Senate has to take up the what's called the reconciliation bill, which is, I mean, that's a spiritual term. I mean, reconciliation is when a person reconciles his action with his God, but somehow that term got applied to this particular bill. The House last night passed the exact Senate bill, the one that has all the flaws on it, and then it also passed the so-called reconciliation bill. The reconciliation bill has to go back to the Senate to be voted on in its exact form, and when that's done, then the president will be signing a second bill. If that's not done, if that reconciliation bill does not pass, then the union workers better brace, because they're going to get smacked with an insurance because somebody in Washington thinks that their Cadillac insurance plans are somehow immoral and should be taxed.
The one of the next big issues may or may not be immigration reform.
There was a huge demonstration in Washington yesterday.
Yes.
Taking place on the Mall. Tens of thousands of illegal immigrants took the bus and train into town. Many were wearing their anklets that the federal government places on people to monitor their actions in preparation for deportation. And the people were saying, you know, we're illegal, we're working here, they're giving their names, just defying the government to do what they should, and that is to deport them in many cases. And so the next thing coming up is a massive bill that will grant amnesty to 11 or 12 million Americans, and then, of course, give them the ability to vote in November, and come in there and skew the elections. And by the way, Ken, we've been receiving tons of phone calls from people very upset with the census form. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I have. I've seen the census form, certainly.
I talked to somebody from the Department of Commerce last week. I'll talk to somebody else again this week.
Yeah.
Of course, it won't do any good. But they have some outrageous things in there. Well, first of all, it counts everybody, including the illegals. It doesn't find out what their status is. But if you have a child at college, that child is not counted as a resident of your household. The child is counted as a resident of the college community, even though that child will return home in summers.
And is still a dependent.
That's correct. It's still a dependent.
Right.
And I asked that question of the person from the Census Bureau. I said, hey, I said, why would you want to do that? And they said, well, the child uses services in the other area. I said, excuse me, I paid through the nose for the college to have its own security, to maintain its own roads, for her to have food. You know, she pays for her own cell phone. And then this is all part of bills that several states have passed, such as Pennsylvania. Our daughter goes to college in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And last November, she was told that she could vote in the Pennsylvania elections, even though she's not a resident there. And she said, my father's a member of Congress in Illinois. I'm going to vote the absentee ballot. But they were told, they said, look, your vote will count more in Pennsylvania, because this is where Mr. Obama needs the votes than in the state of Illinois. I tell you, Ken. It's a destruction of the powers of the states. The family is no longer considered to be a homogeneous unit living in one household. Children are not considered, even though they're dependents, to be residents of the state where they pay taxes, where they live, where they were born and raised in most cases, but residents of the very area where they're going to college. It doesn't make sense at all.
Don, I know your time is short. We've got to go. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I'm going to get some sleep now.
I appreciate it.